Well, good morning to you all, and to all the new people, thank you again for joining us. On a day like this, speaking or sharing a message is a bit redundant because I think that what we've seen on the screen really just epitomizes what being followers of Jesus Christ is all about. However, because I would love to share a message with you. I'm going to do that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. So the first thing I'll do is just to quickly show, if we go to the first graph, this is just a graphical explanation of, we received pledges last year of $58,419. Of that, those were the funds pledged. We received nearly $54,000. We spent, the red box there, or the red bar graph, is the amount of money we spent. That is why it's negative. We spent $45,000, and we have a balance from last year of the $53,000 that we received. We have a balance that we're going to gladly take forward into this year of $8,527. And so, from a percentage perspective, you know, we received 92% of the funds that were pledged. And I actually think that is such an incredible thing. You know, and so I think if we can give ourselves a round of applause and be. And of course, we've only spent 84%. This is just a percentage explanation of that graph, of the amount of money that we received. And so this morning I've titled the message, All for His Glory. That everything we do is all for His glory. In the book of Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 40, we'll just read this 31 to 40. It says, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" Amen. The charge to the poor, the charge to care for the poor and the disadvantaged can be found throughout all Scripture. But it is especially exhibited in the ministry of Jesus Christ Himself. And in the Gospel of Matthew, if you were to read a whole host of scriptures or chapters in Matthew, you'll see that Christ has announced the arrival of God's kingdom whilst He cures the sick. This is Matthew 9, verse 8. He also welcomes the despised, the people that were not liked. You know, when the tax collector was not liked, he sort of like was a despised person. And so Christ is welcoming, saying, look, you know what? We're going to welcome these despised people into the kingdom of God. And He provides food for the hungry when He fed the 5,000. And then He also orders His disciples to carry on His ministry by doing the same things that He did. And so, Jesus Himself said, "I came to the earth not to be served, but to serve." And so He is a perfect King who loves His subjects so deeply and truly that He does what? He serves them. He doesn't come and say, "Right, you guys get to work, I'll just do nothing." He shows us the way. And it's quite easy for us because we've got the example that Christ gave us. And that is the best example that we have to follow. And so when we think of God's kingdom, No one is hungry, naked, sick, or alone. Now, that's in God's kingdom. But in the kingdom that we live, in the earth that we live, we find all those things present. And so if we are going to bear witness to Christ and be his messengers, what we have to do is to serve others and therefore profess the invasion of God's glorious empire. And that's what we do, because we are part of his empire, we are part of his kingdom. We just do the same things that he has done, where we give to the poor, we make sure that we cover people that are going through difficult situations. And so as we read this scripture, the good works are not the cause of, but the effect of salvation. Because he's saying to the righteous ones, you guys have done so well, enter into the kingdom. But he doesn't say just enter into the kingdom, otherwise it will come across as if because of the works that they did, now you can enter. He says inherit. Because when you inherit something, you haven't done anything for it. You are just given. You get a letter from the lawyer to say so-and-so has passed away. You're getting $2,000. You haven't done anything to earn that. It's a gift that has been given to you. And so we now recognize that when they entered into the kingdom that has been prepared for them, it was not as a result of their good works. And so when we do good things, when we reach out to people, we're not doing it to earn our salvation. We are doing it because we have been saved. Because of what Christ has done in us, all we can do is just be super generous because of what he's done. And we need to understand as well that Jesus did not invent the idea of service to the needy. The Torah law required landowners to leave the edges of their fields unharvested so that widows and orphans might obtain food by gleaning. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 to 10. So there was that order that, look, don't take everything for yourself. Leave some so that other people can come along and fend for themselves. It also requires, this is the Torah law, required employers to pay their workers daily because workers depend on daily wages for their daily bread. Where do we get that from? Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 15. And God is so interested in people that are struggling because he says in Exodus 22, verse 22, you shall not take advantage of any widow or fatherless child. So there's this thing that when the kingdom comes, God is coming and he came through Jesus to restore order, to make sure that we are not going to have people that are suffering in our world. And what I like as we read this scripture, it says they were surprised. You know, the people that were the righteous ones that the Lord had said, come into this kingdom, come inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you. They were surprised to say, Lord, when did we do all this for you? The reality of life is that not one of us, let me not speak for you, but I have never seen God. Yet. Neither have I seen the Lord Jesus Christ yet. But what you find is that it is when I have seen the operation of God and the operation of Jesus through people. When people have just shared a kind word to me, given me some encouragement, have supported me when I was young and coming up. That's when I've seen what the love of God is. Because you see love in people's actions. And there's a story, I won't mention the name, where sometimes as we can get in our own way as Christians, we tend to be what we might be a bit super spiritual. We over spiritualize just physical things. So I know a lady that was very unwell, very unwell. And they sort of like said, they started praying for her church to say, look, this lady had taken over a ministry. And they started saying all these things that, oh, the reason why you're feeling unwell is because maybe it's the burden of the ministry and all that kind of stuff people were saying. Only to find out that the reason why she was having lots of aches and pains is because of her diet. Sometimes we just have to be really practical people in knowing and understanding that there's a time where, yes, we pray, and that's very important, but there's sometimes a time to be very practical and act, like digging a well. Because we can go pray for people to be healed all we want, but if they're drinking dirty water, unfortunately, we'll be praying all the time. And so sometimes it's good to just be practical and do those types of things. These surprised mercy givers had no idea that their good deeds meant they were inheriting the kingdom prepared for them. They weren't trying to earn God's favor or sneak around his mercy. They were doing it because of a deep... You know when you've been forgiven, really forgiven for something? You become super grateful. And your posture changes, that all you want to do is to shower whoever it is with whatever you have. Now, maybe men will be showering women with all that they have, because they tell them, we tell women that, you know, we love you, you know, which we do. And so as a result of that, we do our best to please the women in our lives. Is that not true? It's very true. Especially when you've, you know, the woman is super beautiful and, you know, you think you're just an average guy. You do your best to make sure that she knows that you're very appreciative. Yeah. The king does not require that we save the whole world, but he rewards those who help even one person. Maybe we're not called to save the whole world, but it's just that one person. Recognize it was food, drink, hospitality, clothing, nursing care, and visitation. Everyone has the potential to provide these kinds of mercies. You don't need to be wealthy to buy a burger, a soft drink for a hungry person. And I recall my grandmother said one day she just felt like doing something for some street kids. Bought them chicken in, you know, chicken place where they sell chicken. Bought them chicken in. And it's quite easy for people to say, but why do that? Because they're going to be on the streets again. But then she says, but in that moment, you know, they're going to enjoy, and that blesses me in that moment. Every one of us has the potential to provide these kinds of mercies. And we don't want to just restrict them to that. It could be a kind word that you can speak to somebody that is going to lift them up. And that's all we want to say as we, you know, I really do believe, you know, when we look at the work that Port Care does here in the Fremantle area and around, what it's starting to do in the Kwinana area, This is us, and we want to expand that. We want that to get bigger. We want Port Care to be blessed so that it can continue to increase its footprint. The words that are being told, 57,000 stuff dished out to people, that is a big deal. In the Philippines, 7,000 meals dished out, that is impact in people's lives. Helping 196 students in West Africa and paying for 11 teachers. That's a big deal. I'm telling you, we are making a mark. And it may seem sometimes you can get discouraged because we think, oh, it's just us, there's not many of us. But the requirement is not always to have many do a lot. It's always the few. God calls the few. And what he does with what you give is that, as Lynn Tobin said, is multiplied or is added and multiplied and begins to impact other people. And it's quite, and so my encouragement is this morning is every one of us can do something. Now there's no arm twisting. There's no need because we are such a generous church. We're such generous people. Overall, when we heard last week, we heard from the Philippines, 16 salvations. We heard what was happening in Syria, in Liberia, of the salvations and the baptisms. That's telling us that people are being saved, and being baptized shows that there's discipleship that is taking place. That is all being made possible by what you are all doing. We are responsible. We are partly responsible because we have sent. The money goes. We are sending. They don't say, we're saying we are sending money. It is just like us going. And that start, and that is making an impact. It's making an impact in India with what Lynn Tobin is doing. Dishing out food, giving the saris to the widows. People that is covering people. And that's what Christ came when he came on this earth. He came and he covered people.